Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Today's guest is Jason Keck. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, better known as the VIP. Don't forget to subscribe to this. We've got some great guests lined up over the next few months. And one of those guests is the guy I am interviewing today, Jason Keck, co-founder and CEO of Broker Buddha. Jason, welcome to the show.
Rick, thanks for having me here. Excited to chat and talk a little bit more with you and all those awesome Vertafore customers you have.
Yep, and everybody else in the industry. So I think for the best way to get going, Jason, I want to say I've heard Jason speak at shows. He has some incredible information. We're going to try to disseminate that all down into a bite-sized chunks for you here in this podcast. And the best way to kind of get rolling and to set this up is if I just turn the mic over to Jason and say, Jason, how did you end up here? How in the world did you end up here? So go ahead, my man.
Everybody's favorite question. How did you get into insurance?
Exactly.
Stumbled into it like everybody else. But
I wanted to be a professional basketball player. You wanted to be in the insurance industry, like from the age of three, right?
Man, I've been counting the days, and we're finally here. My story's pretty simple. I've been in tech for 20 years, so I did my computer science degree at Harvard back in the 90s, and spent.
Of course, you dropped that. Of course, you name dropped.
Well,
that.
Believe it or not, it's not as well respected as some of the other tech schools out there. So
it's still Harvard. So go on, Jason.
It still gets snubbed quite a bit, but anyway, so. 20 years in tech. First half of my career, I spent doing all large corporates. So I did enterprise sales at Nextel when they launched mobile data for the first time back in 2000. And then I did consulting at a small consulting company called Accenture, which did that over in London. So I spent a couple years abroad, which was fantastic and fun. And while I was over there, decided to kind of embrace my passion for earlier stage technologies and startups and joined another small technology company called Shazam, which at the time was a fairly unknown piece of technology that was doing broadcast radio monitoring. And in the 4 years I was there, we converted from a small technology company to one of the largest digital media brands of the past decade. So I was part of that journey, which was thrilling, to say the least. Spent the next 5 or 6 years doing other mobile digital media related startups, a couple of my own. I spent some time at Tumblr doing business development for them.
Wow.
I've made a couple stops along the way, but I think what I discovered in the second half of my career is just a huge passion for early stage technology companies. And so when I was kind of sniffing around and itching to do something new, I stumbled upon an incubator in New York called Interplay, which had vetted the concept behind Broker Buddha. They built a little prototype, and their model is to kind of vet the ideas early and then hire in experienced CEOs to kind of run the business. And so they said, you're gonna have to learn a little bit about insurance, which I knew absolutely nothing about at the time, but if you can figure it out, which most people can, then there's a huge opportunity here. So I called my brother, who happened to be a broker at Hub in California, and said, I met these guys and they told me this crazy story about brokers using fax and PDF and paper applications to process insurance applications. Tell me it's not true.
Yeah, you said, no way. Come on.
And he said, buddy, if you can create a successful insurance technology company right now, and this is back in 2 years ago, 2017, he said, you're going to be a very happy man someday, because it's a backwards industry that is behind the times in adoption. And he said, yeah, I'm very familiar with the problem that they're solving. And he said, personally, I'd use the service. So I took a bit of a leap because I, you know, didn't know as much about the space as I probably should have, but I took a bit of a leap and I haven't looked back. So here we are.
Well, and you know, what's great about your story, Jason, you and I have had other conversations is, I mean, you've sort of, you know, you've not only been on the route for a while, so in certain areas you wrote the route because you were, you know, doing startups, working at that level of not only, you know, the incubation level, but the every step that comes after that. So there's formation and then there's growth and how do we make something out of nothing? And then, oops, we totally missed the boat on thinking about that. We've got to pivot to this. Those are all, you know, kind of areas that you've been involved in, and it goes hand in hand with a lot of the people that we're talking to in this regard. So everyone at some point either, you know, got into an agency or started an agency, which is a startup, right? And especially on the independent side where you're not handed all the marketing material, all the computer software you need from a, you know, a Farmers and Allstate of the world. And you're having to figure it out too. So everyone who's started at that point knows what I'm saying when I say that is a really hard process. The fact that you've been down that road on multiple occasions, it gives you an experience level and an understanding of what our insurance world might be looking for and needing to be successful. Is that a fair statement for me to kind of paint you into that light?
100%. And specifically because I think, you know, even though insurance agencies and the insurance business has been around for a long time, it's changing, specifically changing a lot right now. Yep. And so, you know, the need to react and adapt is super important. And the experience of having been through that roller is significant, you know, both for me and the different journeys that I've been down with the different companies. I got a lot of lessons from that time. Excited to share some of those today. And I know from talking to a lot of insurance agents and owners out there that they've been down that road before, and they're going down it every time they make a change in their organization. It's disruptive. And so excited to talk about some of the lessons I have from that and how those could be helpful for the agents.
All right, let's dig in then. So here's my first sort of question. I think we all can agree, and I've said it probably in every single podcast that I've done, every interview I've been in, every blog post or article I've written, this is a relationship business. But to start that relationship, you know, obviously there's you think relationship, you think, okay, I'm talking to somebody on the phone and we like each other, but let's take a step back to what that really means and how that, I want you to dig into what does that have to do with building a brand and then having relationships with that brand? Talk to me about that.
Yeah. And so if you think about the relationships you have with individuals and companies, right, they're all based on essentially trust, right? You get to know a like-minded person or somebody who understands you. You know, relationships are inherently personal. And, you know, one of the things that I've kind of done is break down what does it mean to get personal, right? What does it mean to be personal with somebody? And, you know, most insurance agents out there, it's pretty natural. You don't necessarily have to think about it. But if you're trying to get better at it, it's good to sort of pick it apart and break it down. And so for me, getting personal comes down to two things. Number one is transparency. So being 100% clear about who you are and what you do, right? Because people who are like that, it's easy to trust them. Maybe you don't want to work with them, but at least you trust that they're honest, right?
Right.
And that's totally super important. And number two is an understanding of me and my needs. So if somebody can demonstrate to me that they know who I am, that they understand me and they understand what I want, and they're 100% transparent about who they are and what they do, I'm going to give that person a lot of time, right? And that's where those relationships are formed. And so connect that to the concept of brand building. And, you know, it's branding, you know, one of the biggest lessons from my startup is that branding is everything, right? Defining.
You're totally right.
Because people are buying, in a lot of ways, they're buying a solution, but they're more often than not, they're buying a brand, right? And relate, you know, personal relationships are personal, but business relationships are about relationships with the brand. Who is the brand? What do they stand for? You know, what you know, why do I want to work with them? And so on the journey, I met a fantastic woman named Deb Gabor, who runs a branding agency. She wrote a fantastic book called Branding is Sex, Get Your Customers Laid and Sell the Hell Out of Anything, right?
I'm viciously writing that down so I can go find it. And I'm a new fan of Deb just for the title.
Yeah, she is just in your face, dead honest. And she knows branding better than anybody else. And so I look to her as a guide when I think about branding. She really helped me in my startup journey when we were trying to figure out what to do with our company. Number one, I would say, I go back to a lesson from Shazam, which is, if you guys know Shazam, it's a mobile app that tells you the name of a song. It does a bunch of other things, but most people—
Now actually a television show as well.
It is, that's right. But it's about naming that song, right? That's
the right thing
that the brand stands for, is it gets you, you know, instant gratification around music. And so, but the lesson of getting one thing right is super important to startups, as well as I think anybody in business, is having a brand that stands for one thing that people can kind of look back to. So back to that, you know, transparency, right? If you're super clear about what the brand is and what they stand for, you're much more likely to have a good relationship with them.
Well, I think you're, to your point, if you were to talk about an agency, and this could be a 3-person agency, it could be a 1,000-person agency. If you're talking about building a brand, you've got to decide what that brand is. And what I mean by that is, okay, like if I asked 10 agency owners, just put them on the spot and said, who are you? What do you stand for? And there, I'm sure a certain number of them would be like, and that might be their answer, right? The other portion would say something along the lines of great service. We're a relationship business. Like that's what they would say. But now what we're talking about, that's great to say, but that needs to be expressed to the masses today, right? I mean, I can't just, when I bump into somebody at the store, say, hey, guess what? We're really good at service. No. You know what I mean? I need to. And I always use
totally.
It, and I'd love for you to dig into this, but you know, you'll talk to an agency owner and they're the old school agency owners, the ones that say, oh yeah, we're a referral business. That's great. But in today's world, that isn't it anymore. Like I consider you a friend, Jason. I could tell you about an insurance agent. You're not going to blindly call that insurance agent. You're going to do your research, find out if you connect with that person via their brand, most likely online. And then from that point, then you'll decide if there's that level of trust. So back to your point on transparency, it is of the utmost that you define it and then present it, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the definition part is actually really hard, to be perfectly
honest. Absolutely.
It's deeply personal. It requires you to make choices about, you know, because you can't be everything, getting back to doing one thing right. And honing in on sort of one thing that's both discreet enough to be different, but big enough to be relevant is super hard.
Yeah.
And if I look at the cliff notes in the book, there's really three questions that Deb asks that you have to be able to answer. And I've spent countless hours answering this question.
Okay, hold on. Before you start, everyone get your pens ready, because these are going to be three very important points. So whether that's your stylus for your iPad, your pen, you're taking notes on your computer, you're in your car, mark this point in the podcast, because this is the money right here. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, sure. Three things. Number one, what does your brand say about your customers? It's kind of an interesting opening, because it's less about you, it's more about your customers.
Interesting.
And two, what is the one thing your brand delivers that customers can't get from anywhere else? So this is really about differentiation. And then number three is, how do you make your customer a hero in his or her life? And so it's, if you think about this, this is the connection between, you know, who your customer is and who you are, and the bond between those two things. And so understanding customer needs, you know, we're going to talk later, hopefully later, about customer experience, the customer journey. Understanding customer needs is super important. Understanding your superpower and what you do really well is super important. And then finding where those two overlap is where you can have a fantastic business if you focus.
So So let's, I want to stay here for another minute because I think you that's just gold right there for me. And when you talk about an agency, in this case, we're really kind of digging into that agency level. Like, let's talk about the employees at that agency. So not only does this vision, this brand need to be personal, it probably comes from the top, but you've got to get everybody on board with that same method or that same idea or the same philosophy on what it is that, like, what are our differentiators? What makes us special? How do we make our customers feel like hero? Like that's big time stuff. So, you know, talk to me about how that translates from a board meeting or, you know, the three owners sitting having a cocktail and deciding this is what we are, all the way down through an organization.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is about communication internally, education, and also buy-in. The process of developing your brand, although it starts at the top, is not 100% driven from the top down. It needs to be a process. The first question is, what is your brand about your customers? Who understands your customers best? Your account managers, your producers.
So
going to talk to them and saying, tell us about your customers. What do they need? What are they like? What are their profiles? Like, help us understand who they are. Because that's where any startup, it's two things. What is who is the customer? What is their problem? That's, if you go to any experienced entrepreneur, that's the classic challenge is, who's the customer? How do you define them? What is their problem? And then sort of the third point is how does your solution uniquely solve their problem, which aligns back to the, what is the one thing your brand delivers that customers can't get from anywhere else? So, well,
and if
back
we
to your
that,
question.
That, think about that, yep. Jason. You've got a situation where so many businesses in every industry, they think, well, we could do this and we could do that. And if we did this and this and this, we can draw more people. And at some point you start being a little too much. So figure out what it is. This is me sort of just echoing what you said, but figure out what it is your agency is that they do better than anybody else.
Yep.
Because we all know that if I want to get a bot policy for my flower shop, I can hit a golf ball in four different directions and run into an insurance agency that can help me. Right.
Yep.
So how do I build my brand? And again, to that personal point, this goes to how do I attract that new person, but how do I also then really connect with my existing client base for retention, like to keep them under my umbrella, to keep them in my book of business. I think that is, I mean, I think you're so onto this, and I love where you're going. This is part of what I picked up when I heard you speak. But it's this personal relationship. Do you want to dig in any farther, or should we kind of shift gears? Because I got other topics to talk to you about.
Yeah, I'll throw one more thing on top of that. It's not just retention; it's advocacy, right? Because if you think about the marketing funnel, it's awareness, consideration, purchase, retention, and then the last step in the funnel is advocacy. And every agent out there will tell you they get the majority of their leads from referrals. And if you are checking that last box of making your customer a hero in his or her own life, not just satisfied, but like, how do you hear it, right? I.e., when something goes wrong, they were covered. They were able to get the coverage they need at the price that's in their budget. And they were covered for the situation that happened. Like, man, you just made that CEO the hero to his board and his employees because they were covered or because the company was covered. And I tell you what, that CEO is going to talk about you for, you know, every time somebody mentions anything about insurance, they're going to say, you know, I don't know, but just call Dave or whoever it is.
Yep.
Not who you want. So I'll leave the brand conversation there.
That's so good. It's really good. One more thing. Just go back and give me that acronym that you just gave me just slowly. So people, I mean, I think everyone knows it, but it's always good. Like, I always find myself putting up, I'm old school. So I'll put up a post-it note next to my computer or in my, you know, by my desk. And this is one that I think every agency at every level, ownership all the way down, service level, even, you know, certificate, people that are just working on doing certs. Like, if you have this in your mind and you can live by this, and you said it, I've heard it before. You didn't come up with it, I don't think. Maybe you did.
No.
But, But say it again slowly so people can kind of like, because it really smooths it out and makes it kind of easy to figure out. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So the term is called the marketing funnel, and it's a reference to the customer journey, right? So it starts at the acronym is ACP, awareness, consideration, purchase. So it starts at A, you got to raise awareness for your brand, and there's various ways you could do that. C is consideration, so people know who you are and they're sort of deciding whether or not they want to buy your product or your service. P is purchase, that's kind of the moment of sale. How do you get it over the line? And then over time, there's been two more steps as part of the customer journey that have been added to the marketing funnel, which is retention. Now I've got them in the door, how do I hold on to them? And then the last one is advocacy. How do I get them to, you know, talk about me and my company and our service? And so so it's called the marketing funnel, and it starts with ACP, awareness, consideration, purchase, and it ends with retention and advocacy.
And I think that this is a perfect segue to go into what I want our next topic to be, which I think is, you know, on the top of everybody's mind. And if you work in an agency right now and it's not, shame on you, but it's customer experience. And you know, I've had other guests on, and we've talked ad nauseum about meeting the customer where they are and the expectation of the consumer having changed so dramatically with the likes of companies like Amazon and the way people can not only conduct business, but are their expectations. So let's shift gears. I really want to go into, like, you can use, you know, the acronym is a good way to jump in, but let's talk about the customer experience. And even more so for me, it's really the customer journey. Like, that's the word to me. It's a customer experience is great. I go into a store, they were nice, they smiled, they had my size, I bought the shoes, and I walked back out. That's a customer experience. It's a good one. I liked it. But really in the insurance space, it's not about that shoe that I bought and you hope I would like it well enough that some point I come back and maybe buy again. In the insurance game, the independent insurance agency space, this is when they buy once, you're hoping that they'll continue to buy every year for the rest of time. So it is a journey. So talk to me about where you stand in all of this. I know you've got some very, very great, in my opinion, your opinions are spot on. So tell me about that.
Well, I think I want to tie this back to what you brought up a couple of minutes ago about, you know, somebody gives you a referral for an agent. Yeah. First thing you do is you go to their website, right?
Exactly.
So that's the awareness building, right? Somebody goes, they look at your website, they have a visceral reaction to what they see visually. And I mean, literally, like, is this a modern looking website, right?
Because totally.
If you show up on a website, it looks like it's been built in 1999. You are just gonna, you're gonna shut that off, and you're
gonna. It's a turnoff. It's an absolute turnoff.
So painful. We do with all respect to all the fantastic agents out there, you know, in 2019, you know, you need to have a modern website to have a respectable brand, in particular with you know, the younger generation who are becoming, you know, the biggest buyers very soon.
Yep.
So you know, the customer journey typically starts online, right? And the more, you know, expectations have been set by the Amazon, Googles, and Facebooks of the world that you should be able to get information at your fingertips, right? So it's one thing to have a good looking website. Then the next thing is, what can I do on your website? How much information can I get, you know, with all due respect, without having to call you, right?
Because picking up the phone
and sending an email means that I'm doing it on your time, and I need, and, you know, and frankly, my time is important. So I want to do this on my time. So the more information you can give me on your site that I can, you know, use to make a decision, the better trust I'm going to have with your brand, and the more functionality, meaning, you know, I don't want to have to do a lot of work to get what I need. If you can give me some nice tool to help me, you know, figure out what I need, you know, type of insurance I need, great. Or the coverage limits I should have, great. But the more interactivity you have on the site, again, the better relationship that the prospect is going to create with your brand.
Well, and you were talking a minute ago, Jason, about that brand. And I hate to say this, but we used to make fun of certain websites, insurance agency websites, as like, hey, I found another one. Come look at this one. Because that speaks to your brand instantly in spades to most of today's consumers. If it's, like you said, if it's you know, it's not even sized right. It's not mobile friendly. It's not, you know, it looks like you said it was built in 1999. Where's the trust? I don't trust that you have any idea what you're doing. And that's maybe not all the way fair because you might be a very exceptional insurance agent, but it's too late now. Even though my good friend Jason told me to call Bill, this insurance agent, Bill's website was built by his friend in a garage 21 years ago, and Bill does not get my business.
Yep. It's too bad because, you know, those agents have great businesses and they've got, you know, they've built them over time, but it's 2019. The insurance industry has moved online. It's there. We know that there's been over $15 billion invested in insurance technology companies. And, you know, there are some fantastic online brokerages out there that will give great tools for small businesses, which, you know, if you want to compete for that, you're not going to do it with the website you built, you know, 10 years ago. So,
yeah. All right. So let's go to another topic. Well, same topic, but give me some more. I want more of this customer experience, this customer journey. So now if I'm out there and I go to my website, like literally type in your own website. Yep. And if it's not someone you want to do business with as a consumer, it's not someone other people are going to. Okay. So we've told them that. Go on, tell me more. Let's go more.
So, you know, from a customer experience perspective, you now, hopefully they've got a relationship with you, right? Through the brand, they're like, all right, this person is trustworthy and, or at least willing to meet with and talk with. That's where, you know, good old fashioned, personal touch makes a big difference, right? Being responsive, being available, being able to take a phone call. There's very little technology that can replace the personal touch when it comes to, you know, that first conversation. So I'm as big of a proponent as I am about using technology to create a better customer experience. There's absolutely an important part of the experience that has to be personal. So maybe it's a phone call, but maybe it's a video call if you can't see it in person. Well, yeah. Hopefully it's in person, but don't be afraid to invite your client to do a Google Hangout or a Zoom call, or, you know, you don't know if they can or can't do it. You can always fall back to the phone, but, you know, have a nice, you know, professional looking video conversation. You're respecting them because they can do it at their desk and you're not forcing them out of their office. And but they're also getting, you know, a personal connection to you by seeing you and seeing your visual and your body language when you're talking to them and all those things. So that part's really important. You can't get rid of the personal touch when it comes to that part of the journey. And I would encourage people to continue to do so. So,
and if you look at that from a, you know, again, I don't want people to be mad that I said, I'm not going to do business with you because of your website, because again, you could be an incredibly powerful, exceptional insurance agent. It's just a box you have to check today, right? This one, as you moved on to the personal touch, like this has to be part of it. You can use technology to automate some of your communications and make sure you're hitting the right dates as far as trust goes and things like that. But at the end of the day, nothing still beats a good old-fashioned conversation to know that they're that especially when we've talked about insurance enough to know this is a really important thing that you're selling. This is a big deal. It's not a big deal right now when I'm sitting in my office and my car's in a garage and I'm probably not going to get in an accident. But as soon as I step into my car, as soon as I leave my house for the weekend or something, you know, anytime something goes wrong, there needs to be this incredible level of relationship, this incredible level of trust. And that you cannot replicate that personal part. And you know what's interesting about everything you've said so far, Jason? The word personal has been in all of it.
Yeah. It's you know, going back to the funnel, website is awareness, a little bit of consideration. You're really building that trust and the relationship once you get that face-to-face interaction, because you're, you know, first of all, if you're a good salesperson, you're asking a lot of, you know, direct questions and helping demonstrate that you care. And just by the questions that you ask, you're demonstrating your knowledge of their situation or of the landscape in general. and you're really, you're really just burning in an understanding of your brand, which you've communicated through, again, your website. And that's a super powerful way. I would be shocked if there are many people out there who get a referral, go to a website, have a good call with their client or their prospective agent, and then go somewhere else. Like, right. Why would you?
Right.
So get those things right, and you got a client for life. So
right. So I kind of want to switch the customer experience. Unless you want, do you have more on the sort of the customer, the relationship or experience between the customer and the agency? Do you want to dig in any more on that, or can I kind of pivot a little bit here?
There's a potential we could talk about the sort of relationship after the sale. I feel like we talked about a lot of the.
Yeah, do that. Let's go there. And then I have one other point that I want to shift to, but yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think the main thing there is going back to what you said earlier, which is pretty much every agent talks about services being important, right? But
right.
You know, 5 years ago, service was being available to take a phone call so you can go and track down some information so you can respond to the client, you know, hopefully in the next couple of days.
Completely reactive. Yep.
Yep. Whereas, you know, there are some fantastic tools now to make a lot of that information available at your client's fingertips, where they can do that, you know, self-service, right? Self-service is actually better than good service, because it doesn't, A, it's as fast as possible for the client, and B, it doesn't take much work from you other than being able to set up the tools to make those things happen. So,
well, and that, and now, I mean, like I said, consumer's expectation is that now I better get my answer, and I better get it right now.
That's right. That's right. Demands are high, expectations are high. And so, that is the place that where technology can be helpful, right? And so, you know, if that's something that people are considering, which I highly recommend that they do, that's probably a really important area of service where there are great tools for keeping clients happy and keeping clients, singing your praises.
And this kind of is a good segue into where I wanted to sort of shift it. It's not a major shift. It's sort of just a pivot. But let's talk a little bit about the insurance agency and the behind the scenes, either work they're doing or technology that they're partnering with or using that helps them create that customer experience. Like, so you just mentioned that easy access 24/7. But if I'm an agency and I'm like, yeah, we'd like to get on the phone with every client 3 times a week, but we can't, we don't have the man. We've got 2,000 clients now, and I've got, you know, a staff of 8, and what do we do? And so talk to me about that. Okay, so you've got the customer agent interface, the front facing. Behind the scenes, you're building that customer experience so that what they see or what they experience is what you want it to be and how you want it to feel. But you've got to leverage things in the background. So talk to me about how agencies are and can sort of use technology, use systems behind the scenes to create that seamless, personal, incredibly powerful, trustworthy relationship with their customers.
Yeah, so for that, it's really about automating repetitive processes in the back office. So I can't, you know, most agencies will tell you they've got their operations book, and we follow things, and here are the rules, and we're all, you know, the best ones will say, you know, we always do things this way, right? And as a technologist, I look at that and say, you know, here are 22 steps that you have for a workflow or a process, which you have to follow to make sure you get everything right, which is super important, and I get it, and there have never been great tools to automate those processes in the past, but there are now. You obviously have to search and find the right ones. But if you can take something that used to take you 22 steps and you find a piece of technology that cuts it down to, you know, 5 steps, and as a result saves your account managers, you know, an hour's worth of time because they don't have to do quality checks along the way, then you've just saved, you know, an hour of time for every whatever it is, renewal or pre-renewal or quoting or whatever. Workflow step you've automated, and that time, you know, creates space to make those phone calls or have those meetings or visit those clients and build that relationship. And so I would say, you know, two things to get super personal. One is save time in the back office so that you can invest that time in relationships. And two is, you know, identify and implement tools which let clients, you know, have their own access to information without, you know, without having to call you or without having to email you and wait for a response. So both of those things save time in the back office. And, you know, I walked into a room a year ago, it was at the Tech Assure conference in up in Toronto. And I said, you know, you have three choices. You can save time, you can increase retention, or you can increase close rates. Which one's the most important? And 80% of people said they wanted to save time.
Yeah. So, well, because if you save time, then the other two come in lockstep with that.
Yep. Exactly right.
All right. So this has been so informational. I'm jotting down notes and I'm learning. And Jason, you've got such a, what's great is you just have this way of looking at things. Like I mentioned earlier, to be, you know, from your journey, your personal journey, and having been in all these different situations, you have your finger on the pulse of what should be top of the list important for anybody in an agency. So I'm really glad we were able to do this. I'm going to hit you with one last question.
Okay.
And it's a question that I always ask, and it's all right, we're going to record this next little bit right here and we're going to bury it. We're going to put it in a time capsule. And we're going to bury it. Someone's going to dig it up tomorrow, a year, whenever they dig it up. What is your one big piece of advice for the industry?
My biggest piece of advice for the industry is to embrace change. It's a very broad, high level suggestion, but it's super important. Coming in from the outside, it's clear that change hasn't been embraced over the last 20 years.
Yes.
And there is so many opportunities to make things better. And so, and obviously technology is a big part of that. So, that's my advice.
Well, Jason, I totally agree. I think that's sort of the mindset of some of us. I put you and me in that category of people that are out here trying to get people to shake it up, to change, and to your point, not just change for the sake of change, but embrace it and really kind of take advantage of all of the opportunities that are out there. So again, everybody out there, thanks again, Jason. Jason Keck, co-founder and CEO of Broker Buddha. Jason, just, I think probably everybody listening in is aware and has heard of your company or knows something about it. But talk to me about, I mean, if you're there, it must be pretty cool. That's the way I feel about it. but give me the 60-second, you know, high level so that, you know, we'll follow up with how people can find you or find Broker Buddha. But just talk to me quickly about Broker Buddha and what you do, what's going on.
Yeah, happy to. So Broker Buddha is a platform for independent agencies, which helps them grow their business through interactive, customer-friendly online smart forms. So what we do is we convert static PDFs, accord forms and supplementals, into interactive online smart forms and let agencies use those to gather information from their clients and produce signed documents for quoting and binding coverage. So if you've ever used TurboTax for your taxes, we're doing for commercial insurance, what TurboTax did for the tax industry. We've got hundreds of agencies using the platform already.
And talk about picking one of those three that you mentioned earlier, pick one of these and 80% said save time. Wow. That to me just nailed a hole, like drilled that one to the wall, right? I mean, that's kind of the efficiency gain, the operational efficiency gain of something like that. And in your case, Broker Buddha, incredible, right?
Yeah, we save agents an hour for every application that they process. So multiply that by the number of policies that they're processing every year. If you're, you know, if you've got 5,000 policies, that's 5,000 hours back in your pocket every year. And, you know, what can you do with that time? It's pretty amazing.
So if you're thinking about, if you haven't talked to Broker Buddha, I would highly recommend you do that. I can also tell you that they are very shortly, this final paperwork on being part of the Vertifor Orange Partner Program, which means they are approved, vetted. We know Jason doesn't have too many skeletons in his closet, so we let him in the program. And I think that if they want to get a hold of you though, Jason, or your company, obviously tell me the website, tell me, you know, they follow you on LinkedIn. Like, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me directly at just jason@brokerbuddha.com, or go to our website to book a demo with anybody on our team, www.brokerbuddha, that's BUDDHA.com. And I would love to show you what we're doing, how we're helping other agencies, and how we can be helpful for you.
Direct access to the CEO. You heard it here first, people. You've got his email address. Now go ahead and use it. Jason, once again, man, great information. Loved having you on. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rick. Really enjoyed being here, and looking forward to seeing you around the industry soon. Yeah,
definitely, definitely. Don't forget to subscribe, everybody. Also, comment or send me an email at rfox@vertifor.com. We need as many really positive people on the show as possible. So if you have somebody you think would be great for the show, hit me up. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vertifor Insurance Podcast, and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertifor.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at vertifor.com.